King and Menominee in advance of the War on 94, UW-Eau Claire, UW-Stout College Hoops men's and women's doubleheader. We will have that for you coming up on January 4th as well on both of these stations. So that'll be our next live broadcast. The next 2 weeks, we'll bring back some of our favorite interviews. Next week, anyway. And then on the 28th, it'll be just a whole assortment of whatever audio I grab while I'm in Menominee for that basketball tournament, the Big Rivers Wisconsin Valley Challenge. I'll probably end up going over to Stout and talking to Ed Andrist. I'll probably have a couple of other guests in ready to go for that one as well. So should be a pretty fun show at the end of the year. Because I am calling 6 games in 2 days, it won't be a live show. It'll just be a lot of cobble-together interviews, and it'll be fun either way. So that's what we've got coming up for you the remainder of 2013. But before we get there, before we get too far ahead of ourselves with best of shows and things like that, my next guest is Joe Bordeaux. The East-West Shrine Game is a broadcast we'll have for you in January. I've been saying it's a high school showcase. I've been wrong, because that's the other game that we'll actually be covering that that we have the rights to here on 1400. That would be the U.S. Army All-American Bowl, which is earlier in January, East-West Shrine Game being a college showcase. So I apologize for any confusion caused there. Joe joins me right now. Joe, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to not only get a chance to talk to you, but for the first time we're going to be airing this game.
Yeah, no, we're very excited to have the broadcast on there. We have a radio network that crosses the country, but we've not previously been on in Eau Claire. And considering the fact that there will be at least four Wisconsin players, you know, playing in the game, specifically Bo Allen, Desmond Southard, Jacob Pedersen, and as well as James White, have all accepted invitations to the game. So, and there will be more to come from your area as the rosters come together, you know, early in January.
Yeah, and not only Wisconsin, but, you know, obviously we've got, you know, also in proximity to us, Minnesota, but, you know, with Wisconsin, the players you mentioned, you know, here as Badgers fans in the state of Wisconsin, at least in my case, Pete, but Pete over here in the Kansas jacket, no, it's with regards to the Badgers, you talk about those players, and, you know, you get to that point in the season and you talk about showcases for these athletes. You know, James White is probably the most recognizable name amongst those, but you get these games, and all of these guys have something to prove in terms of being seniors and improving possibly their stock going into the next level.
Well, you know, this is really a job interview for the National Football League, and that's the best way to describe it. The game, this is the 89th year. This will be the 89th year that the East-West Shrine Game has been played. This is the longest-running college All-Star game in the country, going, you know, all the way back to 1925, and it has a storied history. You know, for many years it was on national television, you know, on January 1st or over the Christmas holiday break. You know, back in the days when there were only a handful of bowl games, the East-West Shrine Game existed, and it has gone on every year since. Folks have come through this game and ended up in the Hall of Fame. You know, names like John Elway, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Roger Staubach, Dick Butkus, Gale Sayers, Walter Payton from back in the past, as well as many current names in the NFL. We had 100 players from last year's game, actually this past January's game, that have signed with NFL teams in 2013. And so you've got 275 former East-West players on NFL rosters today. So this is really a job interview, and the players come in, you're right. I mean, it's great to watch. And if your listeners have an opportunity to vacation down here, we're in St. Petersburg, Florida. The players stay on America's Best Beaches at St. Pete Beach at the Tradewinds Resort. You know, the temperature's going to be 75, 80 degrees. We play this indoors at the Trop, but the players get to enjoy the sunshine and practice outside. But it's a whole week of activities down here, and we were just not only thrilled to get the game, but thrilled to be a part of it because, you know, as a sports fan, football fan, just to go to the practices and stand on the sidelines and watch these guys go full speed, you know, I mean, this is it for some of these guys. And so it's not just the game on Saturday. It's the practices in front of a couple hundred NFL scouts. And it's really a cool week all the way through. And we're just thrilled that your listeners will be able to hear the broadcast and hear the stories of these players and also the story of the Shriners Hospitals for Children.
And we're going to talk about that in a second, but you're killing us, man, with this 80 degrees and sunny stuff. I mean, you're getting people excited. It's 7 degrees and it's snowing right now. Come on, man. It's just.
I tell you, I was on a business trip the last 2 days up in Philadelphia, and, you know, it got down to 18 in the morning, and you can probably tell I have a bit of a cold here, so I'm not used to this. And I'm back here in Florida this morning talking to you, and I'm headed out shortly with my shorts on. We're going to high of 83 today.
Come on.
That sounds so great. I can't even tell you. And I also appreciate you dropping, I know Jimmy outed me as a Kansas fan here. I appreciate you dropping that Gale Sayers name in there as well.
Absolutely.
Not only do you have such great, you know, Hall of Fame players have come through this game, but you also, on the coaching side of things, you have some great Hall of Fame coaches who've come through and get to coach these All-Stars. This year it's Jerry Glanville as well as Romeo Crennel.
Right.
Just talk about those two guys and what an experience it is for the coaching staffs who get to be part of this game also.
Well, you know, it's interesting. For the last several years, the executive director of the East-West Shrine Game has been Harold Richardson. And Harold is a retired NFL general manager. He was the Atlanta Falcons GM in, I believe, 98 when they went to the Super Bowl. He then retired and was playing golf, I guess, every day. And got a call about 3 or 4 years ago wondering whether he would come back and really run the, you know, player operations side of this game as well as the overall event. And Harold, obviously, having been around football for many, many years, both in college and in the pros, you know, knows a ton of people. And as a result, he's been able to reach out and get, you know, not only, you know, some terrific guys to be the head coach, but also to round out the coaching staff, which consists of some retired guys as well as current folks involved in the NFL that actually round out the rest of the staff. So it's a great event for these guys. It's a bit of a reunion, you can tell. Probably one other aspect of this that Harold has brought to the game, and I've seen this close hand, that you know, he's very much in touch with all of the NFL teams, and you know, part of what goes into choosing folks to be invited to play in the game is really who the NFL teams say they want to see. They want to have an opportunity to take a close look at, sometimes second or third round, you know, guys. And you know, this is a real, they think they may see a diamond in the rough, and they'd like to watch them work out and practice during the week, and then see them in game action on Saturday.
You know, you speak of the diamond of the rough aspect. By the way, talking to Joe Bordeaux from the East-West Shrine Game, we'll have that broadcast for you in January. But you talk about diamonds in the rough. I'm going to go back to 2005. So we're all in the time machine, right? And in 2005, a guy I went to high school with by the name of Jim Leonard got to play in this game. And he talked about it after that, just as a way for him as an undrafted free agent to kind of generate a bit of interest. He was the shortest player that played in that game. And he, of course, went on to sign with the Bills as an undrafted free agent and has carved out a pretty nice career still playing today and actually back with the Bills. So you talk about the diamond in the rough aspect. This really does become a pretty important game for college seniors looking to make an impact at the next level.
Yeah, and we were surprised. Again, I'd never been to a college All-Star game, you know, when we did this the first time 3 years ago. And I was surprised that not only was it a great game, but the crowd was into it. It seemed as if they were predisposed when they walked into Tropicana Field to be for either the East or the West. And, you know, the first year we were in a 17-17 tie with, you know, a minute to go in the game. So it was a great game. So it really had a, you know, kind of a bowl game atmosphere for an All-Star game, which I was not prepared for. And I think it comes across on the radio. You can certainly, you know, feel it inside the inside Tropicana Field, where, you know, you put, you know, I heard you speaking of the Metrodome a few minutes ago, but, you know, Tropicana Field takes a lot of lumps because it is the, you know, the home field of the Tampa Bay Rays. And, you know, even though we've had a World Series there and we've had a Final Four there and we've had, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs there, you know, you get a lot of jokes about Tropicana Field, you know, around the country. And, but, you know, you put 22,000 football fans in Tropicana Field, and we seat them close together, and I mean, the place rocks. And so if you get a good game, the players are playing their heart out. It's really a unique experience from a football perspective, I think.
Joe, one of your slogans for this game is that it's more than a game, and that kind of refers to the charitable missions of your game. And one of the things there with the Shriners Hospital for Children. Just talk a little bit about how the game benefits that charity and how part of this game is really about charity and you guys giving back.
Yeah, and Harold Richardson, I think, says it best when he says the best part about the East-West Shrine Game isn't the game, it's the charity. And as much as we've said about how great a game this is, and how important it is for the players and their careers in the NFL, etc., and of course it's the last time they get to play with the helmet of their school on as well. It really is the charity. And essentially, the Shriners built their first hospital in Shreveport back in the 20s, and it has grown into a 22-location hospital system, the Shriners Hospitals for Children, healthcare facilities in 20 American cities and one in Canada and one in Mexico. And the unique thing about Shriners Hospitals is that they have treated over 1 million children, and virtually all of those were treated for free. So it's regardless of the family's ability to pay, the children get service. And not only is it tremendous health care, but there's an educational mission from Shriners Hospitals. They teach doctors. They also support other hospitals with the specialties, cleft palate, burn centers, etc., that the Shriners are famous for. And so it really is a unique piece of it. It's been a tradition at the East-West Shrine Game that the players come in a week before the game, so they're here an entire week. They come in on Saturday. Game's on the 18th, so it'll be the previous Saturday. They come in, meet together Saturday night. But the very first thing they do on Sunday is get on buses and drive across Tampa Bay to the Shriners Hospitals for Children in Tampa, and spend the bulk of Sunday with the children over at the hospital. So before they ever, take their first nap or warm up, they're going to Shriners Hospital for the day. And it's interesting that the players come in, they're generally aware of the fact that this game is being played for charity, and they may or may not know anything about Shriners Hospitals. But getting on a bus on Sunday morning and to drive across town to spend a day at a children's hospital may not sound like the greatest thing in the world. However, after they're there for 3 or 4 hours on Sunday afternoon, we have a hard time getting them back on the buses to go back. It's just simply amazing. They're playing basketball, they're playing kind of little games of flag football with them, they're dancing with them, playing beanbag toss, whatever the children are able to do. These players are in their kind of traveling fatigue uniforms, so they're it's a very colorful East and West scene. They look like football players, but they're really just kids playing with kids. And as you talk to these players years later, and I guess they've made these hospital visits virtually every year, it always comes back to that hospital visit on Sunday. They realize how lucky they are as players to be healthy and be able to be great physical specimens when they see the kids and the challenges that the kids are having at the hospital. So we are able to make money on this game and give the proceeds to Shriners Hospital. So every bit of help, right out to the fact that you're carrying this game in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this helps us raise some revenue from sponsors here in our local area, specifically the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And this allows us to pay for everything and make the donation as we do from tickets and advertising sponsorships back to Shriners Hospital. And it's a significant six-figure contribution every year.
And Joe, lastly, how can people find out more about the game or more about Shriners Hospital?
Well, ShrineGame.com is probably the best place where you can kind of see the whole history. You can get all the information on the game, and also you know, this area. And I'd like to just put in a very quick plug for this area. We specialize in hosting not only events but also visitors and vacationers, primarily from the Midwest. Most people don't know that, you know, in Florida, if you go to the East Coast of Florida, you're going to find a lot of people from New York and New Jersey and up the East Coast. But for some reason or another, over here on the West Coast of Florida, and we're midway down Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, we are the pick for Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio. A lot of Canadians from Ontario are down here. And it's, you know, during the period from Christmas through April, it's like the Midwest. I mean, so you'd feel right at home. And we have great beaches, a lot of resorts, various price ranges, and the East-West Shrine Game on January the 18th. And you can walk up and buy a ticket for $15 and join 22,000 screaming fans. But if you can't do that, the next best thing is listen to Sports Radio 1400.
All right. Sounds good, Joe. Joe Bordeaux from the East-West Shrine Game, thanks for your time. And look forward to talking about this again on Game Day.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity. You'll have Patrick Keenis with you on this show on game day from the Trade Winds, play-by-play man.
That'll be awesome. Joe Joe Bordeaux again for the East-West Shrine Game right there. I have a feeling we could probably talk to him for another half an hour about this game, but unfortunately we've got like 4 minutes left in the show. Joe, terrific stuff, and I'm glad we have the opportunity to bring the game to you guys here in Eau Claire for the first time that we've ever done it. I know that the game's been around for a long time, but at least in my memory, I don't think we've ever aired this game, so it's a great thing to add. As you can hear, it benefits more than just the fact that we're putting a game on involving a lot of really talented athletes. We got to take one more commercial break and come back right after this on Sports Radio 1400 and News Talk AM 880. We'll wrap up the show and get you ready for a weekend in sports here on our stations at Clear Channel Media and Entertainment of Eau Claire. Back after this.
Right now at Burger King, mix and match any two of our delicious signature sandwiches for just $5. That's right. Pick any combination you want for just $5. Whether you're craving the Whopper sandwich and the original chicken sandwich, the original chicken sandwich and the premium Alaskan fish sandwich, or the Whopper and another Whopper, it's now just $5. With a 2-for-$5 deal, every combination is the perfect combination, so don't miss it. Come in today and get any two sandwiches for just $5. Only